Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed. My faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. You can tell when something is feeding your spirit. There's a strength that comes. It strengthens you. And when you are hopeless and you just, you know, you feel and think like a victim, it's not because it can't be fixed. It's because you're weak. You've gotten really weak because it's possible to be in some really bad circumstances and still have faith that you're overcoming. Still be holding on to some joy and peace. It seems like that couldn't be, but that's the way to go through a situation. Somebody was telling somebody else that they were really going through something, and he said, "Well, don't stop."
Yeah.
Right. Keep going. Right. Get out the other side. Get to victory. So, don't have faith in the problem. Don't be impressed about how hard and impossible it is. And certainly, don't talk about how bad it is. Because you're hearing what you're saying. And just like faith comes by hearing, hopelessness is increased by hearing that kind of thing. No, come on, say it out loud. I am.
I am.
Strong in the Lord.
Strong in the Lord.
I am.
I am.
An overcomer.
An overcomer.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Hallelujah. I am.
I am.
I am. And the scripture said, you know, one of my favorite verses, I actually have it on a plaque at my desk. It says, always, always, based on 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph. You can beat the devil with one word. Always. Because he'll tell you, not this time. What do you tell him? Backhand him with always. Always. He'll leave. He don't want to keep hearing that. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. We're going through, we were doing 30, now we're doing 40 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, if that sounds strange to you, if that sounds new to you, and if you think, well, I'm just not sure about that, that's why we're doing this. Because if you're not sure, that means you can't have faith for it. Maybe you can work for it. You can make effort to get it. But I'm talking about have faith that God will help you to do it. And he will help provide. He will provide for you. You've got to be convinced of his will. Don't you remember the Bible talked about Abraham, who's called the father of faith, whose children of faith we are, said he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Everybody say, fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Now that's why we're giving you 30, now 40 reasons, in case after the first three you weren't persuaded. Right? Or you were partially persuaded. Then we say, hold on. Reason 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. And you should say, well, I'm almost there. Well, hold still. 12, 15, right? 20. Well, what are we saying? If you respect the Word of God, there should come a point where all of these things are saying the same thing and agreeing with each other. There should come a point where you say, "That I'm convinced. Yes, that's what he said. Convinced of what? Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Go ahead, say it out loud, class. Abundant provision,
is always
God's will.
For us all.
Abundant provision,
is
always
God's will
for me. My whole life, every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year, every decade, every season, every part of my life, his will is not lack. It's not struggle. It's not failing. It's not going without. His will is abundance. John 10:10, Jesus said, it's the thief that's coming to steal, kill and destroy. He said, I am come that you might have, Amplified says, have and enjoy life to the full, till it overflows. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is that the will of God?
Yes.
It's the word of God,
yes.
Right? John 10:10, then it's got to be the will of God. Well, we have gone through 29 reasons already in our study. If you haven't been with us for them, you need to hear them. They'll help you. And you know, even if you heard them, it'd help you to hear it again. Go to faithschool.org online, and that's our Faith School page there. And all of these previous lessons are there just waiting on you. And they won't cost you anything. There's no charge for it. Take advantage of it and feed on it until you get so full of light and truth and word till it pushes the doubt out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the law of displacement. It pushes out the fear and the questioning and the wondering and the wavering till all that's left is built on the rock. Hallelujah. Soul anchored in the word, fully persuaded.
Yes.
Now go with me again to Acts 4, if you would. Acts chapter 4. This is reason number 30 in our study. We're sure God's will is abundance for us all because of the beginning days of the church, the early days of the church. I tell you, in fact, just because not everybody was with us before, but go back to chapter 2 and we'll include that as well. These go together. Acts is the inspired word, record, and living testament of the beginning days of the church, from the first people that were born again. That's mentioned about the apostles and disciples when Jesus breathed on them in John's account. And then he told them to stay in the city of Jerusalem. They were all filled with the Spirit. And then we see the first church there in Jerusalem develop. And then they went and preached to other places. And this is not just a historic account. This is a living blueprint for the church today, because we are a part of the same church and we have the same gospel and the same Holy Spirit. Well, notice something that he keeps referring to and emphasizing. On the day of Pentecost, chapter 2 and 1, they were all in one accord in one place. And that's when the manifestation of the wind blowing and the tongues of fire appearing and sitting on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are powerful, and the range of them, I suppose, is unlimited. When you read something like this, we read earlier yesterday's class in about them praying and the building shaking. Here, wind was blowing inside the building, and flames of fire appeared. This should not be a thing thought incredible to believers in the modern church. This is God. He's always been like this. He does things that make you wonder. Signs and wonders. He does things that you never thought about, that never crossed your mind. And so just because something is new to you doesn't mean it can't be God. And I'm convinced that the closer we get to the end of all things, we're going to see not only a restoration of all the kind of things we read in the book of Acts, but more and further signs, wonders, miracles of healing, the dead being raised, appearances and visitations, angelic manifestations. I'm convinced we're going to see more people who were like Paul, who were enemies of the church, who wind up getting saved and becoming. We're going to see people like that who were hardline atheists and who just blasphemers and enemies of the church, but they had such an amazing experience. They got saved. And we're going to see things like that and hear things like that. And don't be shocked if the house shook again, or if wind was manifested, or if there was a manifestation of fire, or any of these things. We need to get out of our heads about being so scholastic and intellectual and realize that's not the whole of existence. That's not the whole world. God is spirit.
Yes.
His Holy Spirit does spirit things.
Yes.
And they can be quite exciting.
Yes.
Well, toward the end of the chapter here in verse 44, all that believed were together. Now they're filled with the Spirit. They were together and filled together. And here after some, at the end of the chapter, after Peter's preaching and talking about the days and weeks and months after this, they stayed together. And they had all their things common or together. Everybody say together.
Together.
God's will for the church is together. One mind, one heart, one soul, one accord, together. This unity is not just beautiful and wonderful, it's necessary. It is essential to accomplish what the Lord wants to do by His Spirit through the church. And it is such a vital thing that the enemy has made it, the devil and his bunch, has made it one of their number one targets. They work incessantly to split us, to get us at odds with each other, fighting, arguing, fussing, because like Jesus said, a house that's divided against itself, it can't stand. It'll fall. It'll be destroyed. So you'll find that the more immature Christians are, the more they fuss and fight, because the outer man is dominant. And the outer man hadn't been saved, hadn't been changed, hadn't been born again, will be one day, thank God. It's the inner man. So the more you're dominated by the outer man, by the flesh, the quicker you'll be to get embroiled in strife and problems and fall and fail. But the stronger you are inside, the more your spirit is fed and grows and develops, then the inner man dominates the outer man. And you're not controlled by everything you feel and by everything, every thought that comes to you or every pull on your flesh. When you have a feeling or a thought, you don't just respond. You assess. You say, where did that come from? You look for it. You'll notice that there's a parallel between spiritual development, natural development, I should say, and spiritual development. There's being an infant, there's childhood, there's the adolescent, the teenage, and the young adult, and the mature. It is exactly that way spiritually. When you're born again, you're not born a fully developed spiritual being. You're born an infant, a spiritual baby. 1 Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What's going to help you to grow? The word. The milk of the word, which would be the basics and the simple. And then he talks about the meat of the word, the more substantial. Babies are not able to handle the meat. But as you develop, and you could just say it like this. There's some things you can tell 2 and 3 year olds, they won't understand. They don't have a point of reference. But we're supposed to be fed and we're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to develop. If you grow up and develop spiritually, you develop in God means you develop in love. There's no such thing as spiritually developing without developing in love. Because developing spiritually in God, God is love. So if you developed in God, you developed in love. That means what? It means you're not selfish. You're not self-focused. And that alone will prevent you from being touchy, being upset about any little thing. People say stuff about you, you know, and, you know, if you're going to be in the public eye, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be on the internet and these kind of things, and maybe say some things that not everybody agrees with. Well, you shouldn't be shocked if people say some unkind things about you or want to argue against you. And the enemy wants to throw stuff at you that will make you so mad and upset you so much that you, instead of being led by the Spirit, you'll lash back out against them and get embroiled in the fussing and fighting. Or you'll regress and retract and get so hurt and get so offended that you just think, you know, instead of me here preaching today, if I had read everything that was online, I might have just stayed at the house. Huh? But I'm not going to be a baby. No. Right? And lay around in my diaper and cry because somebody posted some stupid stuff on Facebook or whatever. And you got to think, too, who are these people? Right? They don't know me. I don't know. Why should I be so upset about something somebody said who has no clue about anything about me? See, that's being a baby. That's not thinking. That's just responding to whatever feeling comes against you. Why am I talking about this? Because these are the reasons people get in strife. They just yield to a feeling. They just yield to a thought. And the devil is such a sorry cuss. He'll come and whisper to this one that this one thinks something bad. And then he'll go over here and say, yeah, now what about her? She thinks something bad. And all of this is occurring non-verbally, mentally, and especially if you get a little huffy and you think, well, you know, if you keep thinking something long enough, you can decide it's true. And then, well, I don't want to be around her. Well, I don't want to be around her. Well, then if you won't talk, the enemy's got exactly what he wants to do, because the only thing you're thinking is what he's feeding you about him. Yeah. And when, if you were able to talk, so many times you would say, is this right? And they'd go, what? That's the first time I've ever heard about that. Right? Yeah. Don't believe the devil's lies. Don't be so easily played. And you know, if you walk in love like you should, people will think you are naive. And if you're not too proud, you don't care. What do you mean? I mean, if you really walk in love and you take the commandment seriously, even if somebody come up and slapped you, you could say, ho, 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 did you trip? Did you, what happened? You slipped and your hand fell across my face. What do you say? No. Or sometimes people will say, Brother Keith, did you understand they were talking about you? You went, no. I said, no. What? No. They think you're dumb. No, I'm not going to let the enemy play me and me sit around and think about that, dwell on that, lose my peace. Because for one thing, they could have already repented. Is that right? Before the day was over. They could have repented. Now I'm upset about something God doesn't even remember that they did. Can you see this? There are just so many reasons to walk in love, which is why it is the New Testament commandment. Everybody say it out loud, class, I choose.
I choose.
I dedicate.
I dedicate.
I commit.
I commit.
To keep the love command.
To keep the love command.
To love others.
To love others.
The way the Lord loves me.
The way the Lord loves me.
To be gracious.
To be gracious.
And kind.
And
like he is to me,
like he is to me.
To forgive others,
to forgive others.
And show mercy to others.
And show mercy to others.
Just like the Lord forgives me.
Just like the Lord forgives
and shows mercy to me.
And shows mercy to me.
If you will do that, you will stay free from all of this anger and this bitterness and this depression. Do it for yourself. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? As well as them. What am I talking about? What if you had a whole church of people? Thousands of people doing this. What would it look like? What would it sound like? It sound like this. Huh? They're all praying. Their prayer is so powerful and so in line with the will of God and the Holy Spirit until the building is shaking while they're praying. Whoo! Nobody doubted that that was a powerful prayer. Then, as a result, they're filled with the Spirit. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
They're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking the Word of God with boldness. And, somebody say and. See, what does and mean? And's connecting what you just got through saying to what you're about. What is connected to being filled with the Spirit and speaking the Word of God with boldness? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, they're people, human beings just like us. Do you suppose they were tempted to get their feelings hurt about something? As the days went by, and months went by, and years went by, or that people actually did some stuff they shouldn't have done and maybe caused a problem. Especially when you talk, we said there were 3,000 saved one day, 5,000 saved in another day, multitudes saved. Every day people were being saved. Tens of thousands of people in this church, maybe scores of thousands among all that group. Nobody made mistakes. Oh, yeah. They made mistakes. But what's going on? Forgiveness.
Yes.
Grace.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Mercy. Instead of fussing, fighting, splitting, separating, not working together, they got over it.
Yes.
I said they got over it. Yes. They forgave. Yes. They got past it and stayed together.
Yes.
Huh? Amen. This is true whether you're talking about husbands and wives, whether you're talking about siblings, whether you're talking about people working together at the store or the factory or the university, in the church, it's a choice. Is it always easy? No. Will the enemy really push you on something sometimes? Yeah, and sometimes if he'll bring a thought and a feeling to you, he may bring it to you 400 times in 2 weeks. What do you got to do? You got to cast it down. 400 times,
yes.
Right? You can't stop resisting it and casting it down. But because the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, verse 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And we know that to the end that, verse 34, there was not any among them that lacked. Do you believe that really happened? With a group of tens of thousands, scores of thousands. Could God do it today?
Yes.
Is it His will?
Yes.
Or has He changed?
No.
He hadn't changed. But what was the key? It wasn't just about the money and the stuff. Why would people act that way? Why would people live that way and operate that way? Because of being filled with the Spirit. Because of being filled with love, filled with grace and filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding to know how to distribute all this stuff the right way. Because think about it. If you're dealing with 30,000 people and all the meals that this involves every day and all of the places where people are staying and all their clothing and all their goings and comings and their doings, just naturally speaking, without the grace of God, how much trouble could you have? Oh, we see it all the time. I mean, you talk about people fussing and fighting over this and over that and the other, but and man cannot fix this. The governments of men cannot fix this. Businesses cannot fix this. Humanitarian organizations cannot fix this. But the Spirit of God can fix this. If enough of the people have enough of the Holy Spirit in them and they're yielding to Him, the door is shut on strife. It keeps trying to get in, but they keep slamming the door in the enemy's face. And it works out to where there's none among them that lacked. Let me read this to you from some other translations. Said out loud, there was not any among them that lacked. Is this the Word of God?
Yes.
Man, this is Book of Acts, New Testament, same church we're a part of. Is it the will of God? Are we looking at the will of God?
Yes.
Hearing the will of God. Listen to these other translations. The Young's literal translation says, not one among them that did lack. The Lamsa translation says, not a man among them was destitute. The RSV, the Weymouths, and two or three others says, there was not a needy person among them. Among how many? You know, at least thousands. It's really tens of thousands. Could have been, you know, especially by the next chapter or two, scores of thousands. You couldn't find one needy person. The 20th century and Mace and others says there was no poverty. There was no poor among them. What? What? This is not heaven. This was here on the earth. Is that right? Same place we're on. Is God capable of this? Is this His will? Has He changed? No. The CEV says no one went in need of anything. No one went in need of anything. Throughout the whole church, tens of thousands, and this was months and years. Somebody say, that's the will of God. And it's still the will of God today. And our time's up again. Rejoice over this till I see you next time here in Faith School. I've got a victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.